الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن الذي فرض عليك القرآن لرادك إلى معاد وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم من شغله القرآن عن مسألتي أعطيته أفضل ما أعطيت السائلين وفضل كلام الله على سائر الكلام كفضل الله على الخلق وكما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. Respected elders and brothers, when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam finally got permission and instruction from Allah tabarak wa ta'ala that he may now undertake the hijrah from Makkah Mukarramah to Madinah Munawwara. Because of the much persecution and torment he was undergoing, he was getting from the kuffar of Makkah. When he finally got permission to make hijrat, then we know that he took his companion Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu with him. And the two of them, they chose to use a back road to Madinah Munawwara so that they would avoid those who were in pursuit of them. Nevertheless, when they reached the outskirts of Makkah Mukarramah, then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam stopped. He turned around and he looked at the road to Makkah Mukarramah. And he was very sad at this point. Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salam comes to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam and he says to him, that it seems that you are very sad today. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, yes, indeed I am very sad. I am heartbroken. Because today is the day that my own people have removed me from my home. At this point, wahi comes down to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Inna alladhi farada alayka al-Qur'an laradduka ila ma'ad. Verily the one who has bound you by the Qur'an Sharif will indeed and ensure that you will return to your homeland. Firstly, ulama explain what is the meaning of binding Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with the Qur'an Sharif. So then there are three things. Tartil, ta'ameen and tabligh. That means to recite the Qur'an Sharif, to practice upon the Qur'an Sharif and to pass the Qur'an Sharif to others. And every believer is bound by these same three factors. All of us have to recite the Qur'an Sharif. We're supposed to be practicing upon the Qur'an Sharif and teaching it to others. But then ulama explain a little deeper meaning. That Allah Ta'ala is Qadir ala kulli shay. He's all powerful, He's almighty. He could have chose to ensure or to explain to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, by the virtue of His might and power, He will ensure that you are returned to your homeland. But yet Allah Ta'ala chose to console Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and to guarantee him that he will be returned to Makkah Mukarramah one day. He chose by virtue of binding him to the Qur'an Sharif. This was a lesson for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his entire ummah to come. That whenever you are facing any difficulty, no matter what it be, whether it's on a micro level or macro level, whether it's within the individual, in the family unit, or in the community, whatever difficulty you are facing, then the solution lies in the Qur'an Sharif. As simple as that. The solution for your problems lies in the Qur'an Sharif. Let us ask honestly, let us ask ourselves, every one of us, let us do some soul searching. How much of the Qur'an Sharif do we recite on a daily basis? Let me use the opportunity that since it's a new academic year, and everybody is setting the targets, and trying to meet the goals, and hoping to achieve milestones, let us make the resolution that every day of our life, not a day will pass, where we do not open the Qur'an Sharif and recite the Qur'an Sharif. With regards to the Qur'an Sharif, generally, the virtues of reciting the Qur'an Sharif, the virtues of memorizing the Qur'an Sharif, are usually discussed. But today I would like to discuss a different aspect altogether, and that is the preservation of the Quran Sharif and the compilation of the Quran Sharif. How did this Quran Sharif, how was it preserved, and how did it come down to us? First thing we must understand, that this Quran is Kalamullah. This is a speech of Allah, the direct speech of Allah. This is not something which was created by Allah. This is the direct speech of Allah. For it to reach Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Quran Sharif passed through three stages. First, it was preserved on something called the Lawhul Mahfuz. The Lawhul Mahfuz. Ulama explained that Allah Ta'ala knows where this is positioned, somewhere close to the Arsh of Allah Ta'ala. The second stage, from the Lawhul Mahfuz, it was then transferred to what we call the Baytul Izzah or the Baytul Ma'mur, commonly known as the Kaaba of the skies, which is in the closest heaven. What is the Baytul Ma'mur? 70,000 malaika make tawaf of this Baytul Izzah, this Kaaba of the sky, on a daily basis, in such a way that once they get an opportunity to perform this tawaf, never again will they get an opportunity to perform tawaf until Qiyamah. From this we understand the magnitude of the creation of Allah Ta'ala. From the Baytul Izzah, then at the third stage, it was revealed to Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam over a period of 23 years. Now, when wahi came to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam initially, then we know he was gripped with fear in the cave, and we won't go into that story. However, after Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam finally realized and he overcame this fear, he now understood that he was the last prophet of Allah. It was his responsibility to memorize this Quran and to pass it on to the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. Then what he would do when wahi used to come to him, he would try and repeat whatever was revealed to him instantly, so that he himself would be able to recite it and people around him would listen to him and they would memorize it also. Then Allah Ta'ala sent the verses, لَا تُحَرِّكْ بِهِ لِسَانَكَ لِتَعْجَلَ بِهِ إِنَّا عَلِيْنَا جَمْعَهُ وَقُرْآنَهُ فَإِذَا قَرَأْنَاهُ فَاتَّبِعْ قُرْآنَهُ ثُمَّ إِنَّا عَلِيْنَا بَيَانَهُ. Allah Ta'ala revealed these verses that, O Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, when Quran is being revealed to you, then do not be hasty and try and repeat what is being revealed to you. Do not be hasty and try and move your lips and repeat what is being revealed to you. Inna alina jam'ahu wa Qur'ana. It is our responsibility. We will ensure that the Quran is gathered in your heart and you will be able to recite it properly. Faida qara'nahu fattabi' Qur'ana. So when Quran is being revealed to you, then pay attention to what is being revealed to you. ثُمَّ إِنَّ عَلِيْنَا بَيَانَهُ يَعْنِي عَلَىٰ رِسَانِكُ. We will ensure that you will be able to recite it properly. From this, ulama explain that the primary source for the preservation of the Quran Sharif, we understand, is an zahril qalb, of by heart. The primary resource which Allah Ta'ala chose as the preservation for the Quran Sharif is of by heart. And for this, there's many virtues for the person who accomplishes his hifz of the Quran Sharif. Nevertheless, as a secondary source of the preservation of the Quran, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would then instruct the Sahaba to write down whatever verses were revealed at that time. So they would write down on whatever they used to write down at that time. They used to use pieces of the bark of the palm tree, large pieces of bone, pieces of leather or cloth. They would write down whatever Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told them to write down. So this was a secondary source of the preservation of the Quran Sharif. In Makkah Mukarramah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had many people, many sahaba, who would write down the wahi. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to Madinah Munawwara, then he was presented with a young sahabi by the name of Zayd bin Thabit radiallahu anhu. Hazrat Zayd bin Thabit radiallahu anhu, it was told to him that this is a young sahabi, he has already memorized so many portions of the Quran, he writes well, his memory is good. You should adopt him as your official scribe of wahi. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam accepted it. Brothers, remember this name, Hazrat Zayd bin Thabit, a very key figure, played a very important role, as we'll go through, for the preservation and in fact the compilation of the Quran Sharif. Hazrat Zayd bin Thabit radiallahu anhu. As a further method of preservation, Jibreel alayhi salam used to come to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam every Ramadan, and he would undergo a door session. Like how we have the youngsters going to madrasa, learning hifz. Then they would daily recite door. The ustad would listen to them. So like this, every Ramadan in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Jibreel alayhi salam used to come and recite what, up to whatever portion was revealed up to that day. He would recite to him, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would listen to him, and then he would recite back to Jibreel alayhi salam. On the last Ramadan in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this door session took place 2 times. And Hazrat Zayd bin Sabit radiallahu anhu was present for the recitation of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the same sahabi, Hazrat Zayd bin Sabit radiallahu anhu. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed away, we must understand that the entire Quran Sharif was documented, was written down. The entire Quran Sharif was written down. However, it was not compiled in a book format like how we have today in a Mus'haf. This was not done. Everything was written down, but it was not compiled in a book format. We must also understand that the sequence of the ayat, the sequence of the wording of the ayat, the sequence of the ayat, this was all by the direct instruction of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself. We know that the Quran Sharif was revealed, a certain portion of a surah was revealed, incomplete, the surah was not complete, then another portion of a totally different surah was revealed, then after a few days or whenever the need arised, when Allah Ta'ala decided, then the completion of the first surah was revealed. So the Quran Sharif was not revealed in one order, but the order was by the direct instruction of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself. And for this we take an example. Hazrat Zayd bin Sabit radiallahu anhu, the same sahabi, he says, one day we were sitting with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and it so happened that my leg of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was on top of my thigh. And we were sitting with him, and then we all saw the signs of wahi on the face, on the Mubarak face of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So everybody kept quiet. Zayd radiallahu anhu explains that I have never felt such weight on my leg like that ever in my life. And we understand from this that one of the effects of wahi on Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that it was very difficult and heavy on him. In fact, some verses of Surah Ma'idah was revealed to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam whilst he was mounted on a camel. The camel could not take the load. The camel had to sit down. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam dismounted the camel out of compassion for this animal. After wahi was complete, then he mounted the camel and continued the journey. So, one of the effects of wahi was that it was very difficult on Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It was very weighty and heavy. Nevertheless, Zayd radiallahu anhu says that then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he instructed, Ya Zayd, uktub. O Zayd, write down what has been revealed to me now. And he read, لا يستوي القاعدون من المؤمنين والمجاهدون في سبيل الله. O Zayd, write this down. The meaning of it is, the believers who are not fighting in the path of Allah, and those who are fighting in the path of Allah, they cannot be equal in virtue. They cannot be equal in virtue. After this happens, a blind sahabi comes to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ghaliban Abdullah bin Ummi Maktoum, radiallahu anhu. He says, Ya Rasulullah, كيف بمن لا يستطيع الجهاد? What about that person who is incapable of going in jihad? Because he was blind, he asked a question. Zayd bin Sabit radiallahu anhu says, again we saw the signs of wahi on the Mubarak face of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We all kept quiet. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam after some time said, Ya Zayd, iqra, read what you have written. Hazrat Zayd starts reading, لا يستوي القاعدون من المؤمنين, and he stops him there. Nabi sallam stops him there and he says, add the words, غير أولي الضرر. So now the ayat reads, لا يستوي القاعدون من المؤمنين غير أولي الضرر والمجاهدون في سبيل الله. That the believers who are not fighting in the path of Allah and they do not have any shari'i excuse, those believers and the ones fighting in the path of Allah, they can never be equal. So we understand from this that the sequence of the words of the ayat, the sequence of the ayat, all this was done by the instruction of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself. With regards to the sequence of the surahs of the Quran Sharif, with regards to the sequence of the surah, we know that the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, they would listen to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reciting salah, reciting taraweeh. They would recite themselves in namaz. Also we know that the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, they had a habit of completing the recitation of the entire Quran Sharif in 7 days. This was their habit. One khatam every 7 days. If you open the Quran Sharif that we have, at the bottom you'll see manzil. Manzil 1 to 7. This was the portions that the Sahaba radiallahu anhu would recite on a daily basis. So, in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the entire Quran Sharif was written down. Now we come to the Khilafat of Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, from the beginning of his Khilafat, he had to face some challenges. The very first challenge that he had to face was the army of Hazrat Usama radiallahu anhu. The Sahaba radiallahu anhum, they had some difference of opinion with regards to this army, whether they should go out or not, because Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself instructed that this army should go out. But then he passed away. Another challenge that he had to face was a certain community decided that now they do not have to pay any zakat. Mani'ina zakat. They don't have to pay any zakat because of a misunderstanding or misinterpretation of the Quran. This was the second challenge. And a very big challenge that he had to face was the emergence of a person by the name of Musaylama al-Kadhab. Musaylama al-Kadhab, although he made the claim in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that he is a prophet, but when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed away, then he exploited the situation and he and his whole tribe stood up that he is another prophet. Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu waged war against this person and his entire tribe of Banu Hanifa. He waged war against him. In this war, which was called Hadiqatul Maut, the Garden of Death, it took place in Yamama. In this war, 70 some odd Sahaba, a large number of Sahaba, became martyred. But what kind of Sahaba? Those Sahaba that were termed as Qurra, they were masters in the Quran Sharif. Whether it meant tafsir, qiraat, understanding, everything, they were masters in Quran. They were Hufaz. 70 such Sahaba became Shaheed. In fact, in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the battle of Bi'r Ma'una, a similar instance happened, where certain, many Sahaba who were termed as Qurra, they passed away. When this happened, Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu comes to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he says, Ya Khalifa Allah, Ya Khalifa, O our Khalifa, O Amir al-Mu'mineen, please do something about this before the Quran Sharif is lost to this Ummah. So he asked him, what do you want me to do? So he says, why don't you compile, because the Quran Sharif is written down, it is scattered about amongst all the Sahaba, why don't you compile it in one Mus'haf? Immediately Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu says, how could I do something which Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't do himself? This was the benchmark for Sahaba. What did Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam do? Nevertheless, Umar radiallahu anhu insisted. He says, huwa wallahi khair, there's only goodness if you do this. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu says, let me think about it for a few days. After a few days he comes back and he says, شَرَحَ اللَّهُ صَدْرِي, Allah Ta'ala has opened my heart and I agree that there is khair in this, there is goodness in this. Now this is not an easy task. Who will be the project manager, as you say? Who will oversee that this is undertaken properly? This was not any ordinary kitab. This was Kalamullah. So, none other than the name of Hazrat Zayd bin Thabit radiallahu anhu, the same sahabi we spoke about before. He was then called upon by these two Sahaba, Umar and Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. He was called and he was given mashwara. He was said that this is what we want to do. Again, he shared the same sentiments of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, that how could you two do something which Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't do? But he also thought about it for a few days and he came back with a positive answer. So then they said that you are now appointed with the assistance of Umar radiallahu anhu, you are appointed to oversee that this is done. Hazrat Zayd bin Thabit radiallahu anhu says that if they had to ask me to remove a mountain, it would have been easier than what they're asking me to do. Nevertheless, with mashwara, Elan was made in Masjid al-Nabawi that whoever has any portion of the Quran Sharif by him, he should bring it to Masjid al-Nabawi. Zayd bin Thabit radiallahu anhu is waiting. Elan is made in the streets of Medina Munawwara. Whoever has any written format of the Quran Sharif by him, please bring it. Zayd bin Thabit radiallahu anhu is waiting for it. And like this, they collected it. But now we understand that this was not any small kitab or something. This was divine scripture. This was Kalamullah. So obviously they had some guidelines. They had some guidelines that they had to adhere to before accepting the submission. So, a few of the guidelines were that firstly, the submitted copy that was presented to Zayd bin Thabit radiallahu anhu, he had to conform to the memory of Zayd bin Thabit radiallahu anhu, because he was a hafiz, he was a katib of wahi, he was a scribe of wahi. It had to conform with his memory. A second condition that they had placed was that whoever submits any copy, then he would have to bring two witnesses to confirm that this is a copy of the Quran Sharif. Another condition that they had placed, that this had to be written in front of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This copy that you're presenting had to be written in front of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam upon his instruction. It had to be the original copy. Not that one sahabi had a piece of the ayat written down, another sahabi took his copy and copied it down and he's submitting it. No. The original copy with the instruction of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that was the one that was accepted. Nevertheless, like this, the entire Quran Sharif was now compiled, gathered, collated, and it was kept in safekeeping in the Baytul Mal under the kingship of Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. The Khilafah of Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu began. There was no need for him to do anything further. Umar radiallahu anhu, he focused his efforts on establishing Darul Quran, like Darul Ulooms, big centers of Quran, where thousands of students will enroll and they will learn the Quran Sharif. And we know, in the Khilafah of Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, Islam spread far and wide. So there was nothing to do in his Khilafah. In the Khilafah of Hazrat Usman radiallahu anhu, now Islam had spread to the lands of the Arab and the non-Arab. Islam had spread to the lands of the Arab and the non-Arab. When Quran was revealed, then amongst the Arabs, they had their own dialects. And they took permission from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to recite the Quran in their own dialect. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave them permission. No problem. Now when Islam spread to the lands of the Arab and non-Arab, the non-Arab didn't understand the tolerance between the dialects. Huzaifa radiallahu anhu takes part in one jihad in Azerbaijan. He notices here that the people of Syria, they are reading on the dialect which Ubay bin Ka'b radiallahu anhu used to recite. And the people of Iraq, they are reciting upon the dialect in Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu anhu used to recite. And they never understood the tolerance. They didn't know the difference that both are okay. But this now led to the two groups calling each other kuffar, terming them as kafir. Huzaifa radiallahu anhu, he sees this. He comes to the Khalifa. He comes to Amir al-Mu'mineen, Hazrat Usman radiallahu anhu. And he says, Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, please do something about this, before this very Quran Sharif would be the means of friction of this ummah. Usman radiallahu anhu, the Khalifa, he already had perceived this fear, because it was reported to him that in Medina Munawwara, the Asatiza, they stuck to their own dialect and they didn't want to tolerate any other dialect. In fact, it was Elan made in the masjid that whoever wants to recite in a certain dialect, come in this corner of the masjid. Whoever wants to recite in that dialect, go in that corner of the masjid. So this was causing division. The different dialects was causing division amongst the ummah at that time. When Usman radiallahu anhu is reported about this, when he receives this report, then he makes mashwara with senior sahaba. And they all come to the consensus that now a second compilation must take place. And in this compilation, only the dialect of the Quraysh, the original dialect in which the Quran Sharif was revealed, only this dialect will be collected. No other dialect will be collected. So, now they underwent a second compilation of the Quran Sharif, which only encompassed the dialect of the Quraysh. So this is known as the second compilation of the Quran Sharif. Thereafter, six or seven copies were made of this compilation, and they were sent to the different institutes or Islamic centers in the Islamic land. It was sent to them. All other copies, including the first copy, the first compilation of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, they were all destroyed. From that time up till today, this is the only copy of the Quran Sharif that we have. Brothers, the question comes about, what is the need for us to understand all this? Allah Ta'ala Himself has said, إِنَّا نَحْنُ نَزَّلْنَا الذِّكْرَ وَإِنَّا لَهُ لَحَافِظُونَ. We are the ones that have revealed the Quran, and we are the ones that would ensure that it is protected. But we need to understand this history, which is documented, of the preservation and the compilation of the Quran Sharif that we have before us. For this reason, that there are elements, there are groups of people who are misguided. They are infiltrating our communities If we are not exposed to them, then our children, our grandchildren will be exposed to them. They have misguided opinions of the Quran Sharif. Some of them say that, na'uzubillah, Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, he hid certain portions of the Quran Sharif which related to Ahlul Bayt. Some of them of the opinion that this Quran Sharif, we believe in it, but this Quran Sharif is incomplete. They believe that the Quran Sharif is incomplete. Let us take it upon ourselves. What I have presented today is just a basic overview. There is much detail in any tafsir kitab, in the beginning of the tafsir kitab, authentic kitab, you will find details of this compilation preservation. Let us make sure that we understand this ourselves and we teach it to our children and grandchildren so that they are also saved from this fitna. May Allah Ta'ala give us a tawfiq to recite the Quran Sharif on a daily basis. May Allah Ta'ala make it easy. May Allah Ta'ala make it easy for one and all. Remember, brothers, they say that the Quran Sharif is for yourself, not for yourself. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين.